You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey everybody, it's Monday, November 20th, 2023. Welcome to the NFL Fantasy Football Show. It's me, your man, MG Marcus Grant, joined by Michael F. Florio. Coming up on the show today, we've got our biggest takeaways from Week 11. We're also breaking down some of the top performers of the week. Is Calvin Ridley officially back? Plus, we'll talk about some of the biggest letdowns from the weekend. Well, so we are almost through 11 weeks of the NFL season, of the fantasy football season. You gotta be feeling good. The Bills are back. It's official now, right?
They are back. It's just one game, but it's been their defense that has given them the hardest time for the last couple of years. And for them to have a game like that, for Allen to look the way that he did, I'm feeling good today. I wore my Bills shoes just for that purpose. Speaking of great offenses, your 49ers just keep on rolling.
They looked good. They've come out of the bye with two really big wins. The offense is clicking again. Some sort of sad news. Talanoa Hufanga is out for the rest of the year where they tore an ACL. So that's a big loss in the secondary. But otherwise, things are on the up and up. Tough stretch, though. They got two games against the Seahawks, sandwiched around a game against the Eagles. So the next few weeks, very critical for the 49ers. Critical times for everybody across fantasy football. As well as we get closer to the playoffs, we'll have our biggest takeaways from Week 11, some top performers, fan questions, and as always, Matt Okada will join us later in the show to talk some waiver wire targets. But let's start, as we always do, with some fantasy headlines. Aaron Jones had to leave the Packers game against the Chargers with a knee injury. Now, it appears that it might not be super serious. It looks like he did avoid a torn ACL. We'll see the severity of it, though, in the next couple of days. But in the meantime, does that mean it is Quadzilla season? Are we all in on A.J. Dillon now?
Nope. he's had this opportunity already earlier this year. In three games without Aaron Jones, he scored 7-3 and just under 14 fantasy points. That under 14 is his high game of the year. And then he had a fourth game where Jones left early and he gave you 1 point against the Lions. That's who he gets next week. I'm washing my hands clean of AJ Dillon.
So on Sunday, he had 14 carries for 29 yards. He did catch four passes for 32 yards. It was an okay day against a Charger run defense that hasn't really been super great. So maybe not. I'm thinking potentially volume.
Yeah,
that's in his favor.
That's what he has going.
I mean, Emmanuel Wilson also left the game with an injury, so he's the other guy who would be taking opportunities. So we'll see. Worth keeping an eye on the health of all these guys. Of course, short week as well for the Packers because they turn around to play on Thanksgiving Day in Detroit against the Lions. So that could certainly impact who's available for Green Bay. And basically, whether or not you want to start any of these guys against the Lions defense coming up this week. More running back injury news. Kenneth Walker leaves with an oblique injury. Zach Charbonnet was already starting to get more work in closing the gap. Not that he was going to surpass him anytime soon, but does this mean it's Charbonnet season?
I think so. And I know we are both fans of Zach Charbonnet and have been saying to roster him and stuff. And this is why, like, Kenneth Walker was declared doubtful almost immediately when he left the game. He's also been dealing with a calf issue, so nothing new here. But Charbonnet played 84% of the snaps, 15 carries. He caught all six of his targets. His schedule is very, very hard the next few weeks. Like you said, a couple of games against the Niners, amongst others. But the volume that the if he was the lone back here, I think has him in play as an RB2 with higher upside.
Yeah, I'm look, I think RB2 is maybe his ceiling right there. The fact that he does catch the football certainly is a big help. That was a thing that I liked about him coming out of UCLA. It took a while for him to finally get going, but it does seem that he did kind of get up to speed. And so now if the opportunity does present itself, a lot of volume to be had. But again, the matchup, maybe not great when they got the 49ers coming up this week. But again, keep tabs on Walker's situation, see how available he might be. Cooper Kupp, he leaves the game in the second quarter with an ankle injury. Kupp has been slumping. I mean, let's just be honest. It has not been a really great run with him since his first couple of games of the season. We'll see how serious this is. We know Puka's going to get targets. Anybody else that you like there beyond Puka Nacua?
Yeah, I think it goes back to how it was the first month of the season. If Kupp misses time, they are saying it's a low ankle and he's going to try to play through it. So if you have him, that's best case scenario, I would say, after seeing this, him laying on the medical table yesterday. But remember in the first month, Tutu Atwell was a top 20 wide receiver. Tyler Higbee was a tight end one. Those guys have been on milk cartons since it's become really the Kupp and Puka pass game show. But if Kupp is out, I think those two, look, I'm not telling you you're going to play Tutu over your studs or anything like that, but he becomes another option for you at wide receiver.
Yeah, he's definitely an option. And I think you're right. It kind of goes back to where it was. Although admittedly, look, I don't know what's going on with this Rams offense. It has not looked good for several weeks now. And you sort of were able to, you know, talk it away when it was, you know, Brett Rippon at quarterback, but Matthew Stafford is back and they still couldn't move the ball. They are still struggling to score points. They hang on and win by one after Jason Myers misses a field goal late in that ball game. So there are real concerns. The good news is Kyren Williams is expected to be back next week. So we'll see if maybe that makes an impact and gets the offense going again.
For as bad as Kupp was yesterday, he did have that long catch where he got like turned around and dropped it. If he catches that touchdown, we're talking about Kupp a little bit differently.
Yeah, and you don't see Stafford and Kupp miss like that very often.
Stafford hasn't been the same this year. Well, at least to me, watching him play,
yeah,
he doesn't look like the same guy.
I mean, he looks like a guy who's later in his career who has been beat up over the course of his career. That's kind of what Matt Stafford has looked like so far this season. So those are some of the big news items from the week. I didn't mention Devon Achane also because he did leave with a knee injury. They are hoping he will be ready to play this week. It's not a for sure thing. I mean, obviously Raheem Mostert is there. Jeff Wilson with a healthy scratch.
Yeah. Yeah. Savon Ahmed caught a touchdown, which was very frustrating because I have a lot of Raheem Mostert. I think you start Mostert next week. I don't know what the Dolphins are going to do with Achane, but if I'm them, I'm like, do we need him to beat the Jets? Can we hold him out and give him another week to rest and not play him on a short week? That might be what they do. We got to just monitor. But that's how I would play it.
Yeah, and like Mike McDaniel has not committed to anything just yet, too. So we'll see what happens as we get closer to the game on Friday. All right. We got some of the biggest takeaways from Week 11, the things that we learned from this past week. And it seems like we have a new RB1 down in Houston right now.
Yeah, if you click on his picture, his name on NFL.com, he's still wearing a Bills jersey, but Devin Singletary, weekly start. His first time in his career with back-to-back games with over 100 yards and a touchdown, over 19 fantasy points in each. And just the eye test, man, you watch him and you're like, this guy is better than what Dameon Pierce has been all year. So in my opinion, when Dameon Pierce comes back, I think he won't fully go away, but I don't know how they get away from Devin Singletary. And with the way that this offense is clicking, even with the three interceptions this past week, they scored three touchdowns. They were moving the ball a whole bunch. I just think Devin Singletary is someone that you could start as your RB2 or flex.
First time in his career, he has had consecutive 100-yard games. And yeah, it seems that it's going to be really hard for Dameon Pierce to get a significant role in this offense when he comes back. He's been incredibly inefficient. And now Devin Singletary showing that he can get it done on the ground. Speaking of getting it done on the ground, welcome back Justin Fields. He comes back with 104 rushing yards, throws for 169 and a touchdown. in what was, I know, a disappointing ending for the Bears. Fields takes that sack, fumble, loses the ball, and the Lions go on to win. But he comes back and looks kind of like the Justin Fields we remember. On top of that, he gets DJ Moore going again. Moore having a touchdown, first touchdown, and his first game with more than 14 points since back, I think it was week 5, is when he had that big Thursday night game against Washington. It was the last time that DJ Moore had more than 14 fantasy points in a game, last time he scored a touchdown. So Fields looks like he's back. I looked at the schedule the rest of the way. It's not the easiest schedule, but there are some very positive matchups there for him. If you were holding on to him and you are still in contention, I think with the schedule coming up for Justin Fields, it's very possible. I mean, look, they got the Vikings next week, which, you know, whatever. The Lions, who he had just had a good game against. The Browns, definitely not one you want to mess with. But the last two games in playoff season, the Cardinals and the Falcons. Very positive matchups for Justin Fields.
And this is exactly what we wanted to see out of Justin Fields, right? He's running the ball a whole bunch still, and he's getting it to DJ. Like, do those two things. Get it to DJ Moore and run, and we will love you in the fantasy community.
Absolutely. That's all we want you to do. Look, real football, there's still a conversation to be had about Justin Fields. Yeah. Fantasy football, we know for sure what's happening. Both in fantasy and real football, though, things are not good for the rookie wide receiver from TCU playing for the Chargers, and not Darius Davis.
I was saying it's good for one of them.
If one of them seems to be working out.
I figured it out. We need to get Quentin Johnson on this podcast because Darius Davis came on and he's been electric for the Chargers. It's just not happening for Quentin Johnson this season. And I will take a huge L on this one. I was big on him coming into the draft, into the regular season. After Williams and Palmer got hurt, I thought it was his time. You see that drop there. That could have been a game-winning touchdown. And the thing is, Mike Williams doesn't separate like that. No one else on the Chargers, because this is why they got him, because they need someone to win downfield. It doesn't matter when you have no hands. The week before didn't show in the box score because there was a holding penalty or pass interference, but he dropped another 70-something yard touchdown. Like, if your hands don't work at wide receiver, it's just not going to work. And this was a fantastic matchup. No Alexander yesterday. It didn't happen. I don't think it's going to happen at all this year.
It was a concern about Johnson when they drafted him, but I think the Chargers were hoping it would sort of work itself out. Very smart man and friend of the show, Matt Harmon, once told me that drops don't matter. But at some point, they do start to matter when they happen in key situations and your quarterback starts to lose faith in you. And I think that's where we're headed with Quentin Johnston right now. For me, Joe Brady, is he good for James Cook? Look, I get it. It's only one game, right? And like, there's not a lot that we can definitively say after one game with Joe Brady as the interim offensive coordinator. But Cook played, I think, 32 snaps on Sunday. He had opportunities on 21 of them, 17 carries, 4 targets. He tied his season high in targets. He had what was his second highest fantasy output of the season. And he was getting looks down near the goal line. I mean, he caught a touchdown pass, but a play that they ran from about the 5-yard line. In the past, we were seeing Latavius Murray get a lot of those opportunities. And look, Murray's still going to get his snaps and his touches. That's never going to change. But after 1 week, and look, you are obviously the resident Buffalo Bills fan on this show. After 1 week, though, it seems like Joe Brady's looking around saying, hey, look, James Cook is a playmaker. We got to get the ball in his hands a little bit more.
Yeah, and one thing I noticed when I looked at Joe Brady's tenure with the Panthers was that he likes to use one running back. Like, it's easy to be like, oh, it was Christian McCaffrey. No, Christian McCaffrey got hurt early on in both of his years. It was Deontay Foreman, and then the second year was Chuba Hubbard. So if he could kind of just go with one running back, which is what he's done in the past, it's to the moon for James Cook. Ironically, 3 running backs were utilized yesterday, but James Cook still put up big numbers because they used him more effectively than they have been with the old OC. But he gets the Eagles next week. I don't know if I could start him in that.
Well, we'll see. Something about that fumble, man. It got him running hard. So I don't advocate fumbling, but if that's what it takes to light a fire, then maybe put one on the ground and like recover it yourself. That's all I got to say. James Cook had a big performance this week. We have some other guys who had big performances this week. We'll go through top performers and some disappointments when we come back on the NFL Fantasy Football Show.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, You're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't Nick.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Top performers from week 11. Of course, the Monday night game still to be played between the Eagles and Chiefs, so this could change dramatically. Who knows? But Trevor Lawrence, just after we spent all week saying, stay away from Trevor Lawrence, he goes out and puts up 32 points, a pair of rushing touchdowns, a pair of passing touchdowns as well. Saquon Barkley had himself a day to help out Tommy DeVito and the Giants, 83 rushing yards, 57 receiving yards, and two touchdowns there. That was 30 points. Calvin Ridley. We stayed away from Trevor Lawrence. We stayed away from Calvin Ridley. Calvin Ridley goes off. 7 catches for a 103 and 2 tutties. 31 points there. George Kittle stays hot. I just missed my bold prediction. I said he was going to go over 100 for the third straight week. He missed it by 11 yards. He had 89 yards and a touchdown. Good for 22.9. Jason Myers, Will Lutz ends up being the top kicker with 5 field goals made. It was most of what the Broncos did, and then a late touchdown ends up winning it for him. And then the Giants defense taking advantage of the Commanders, 4 sacks, 3 interceptions, 3 fumble recoveries, and a touchdown, 23 points there. Let's talk about some guys, though, who did have some big weeks. Tank Dell just keeps it rolling for the Texans.
Yeah, Tank Dell is someone that I think you just start each and every week moving forward. And it's something that we've been talking about a lot on the show this year, that like there will be ups and downs when you have an offense this young, but you just start them because the highs are so high. The downs aren't even hurting them anymore. 3 interceptions yesterday for most offenses, that's a day record. They were still able to put up big numbers because they continue to move the ball with ease. Tank Dell was the wide receiver 1 2 weeks ago. He is currently the wide receiver 3 in week 11. He's just been automatic. And this was with Nico Collins back now as well. So I think Tank Dell is a must-start option. I think Nico Collins is in play. Noah Brown is in play when he comes back. You just want to start your Texans.
Yeah, I mean, it's not what we anticipated, but it's working out, man. Start your Texans because that passing game is working well. And now we got the running game too with Devin Singletary starting to get hot. You saw Calvin Ridley there on the screen there. 7 catches, 103 yards, 2 touchdowns, his biggest fantasy game of the season. His first game with multiple touchdowns since 2020. Here's the thing, and a lot of people have been talking about this in the last 12 hours or so. Maybe Zay Jones is the key to Calvin Ridley having big games. In the 4 games that they have played together, Ridley's averaging almost 90 receiving yards per game. 3 of his 4 touchdowns have been scored with Zay Jones on the field. I believe it's something like he averages about 19 fantasy points per game with Jones, about 6 without. And I think it's just something about having another quality receiver playing on the opposite side from him. Look, Christian Kirk's doing his thing in the slot, but I think having Zay Jones on that other side versus, say, a Jamal Agnew or a Tim Jones or somebody like that, really seems to be opening things up for Calvin Ridley. So maybe all we needed was Zay Jones to get back on the field. Who knew?
Who I would not have thought it. Kudos to you and everyone else who picked up on this trend. It seems to be true. I'll take the L for saying to sit the Jags this past week, but I've been high on Ridley all year, so I'm going to be hopeful that the rest of the season could be good.
Here's the thing. I think everybody was off the Jags this week. I saw a lot of people sitting Calvin Ridley. I think he was only started in like 30% of NFL.com leagues. So I think the people who did it, either you weren't paying attention to your lineup or you just didn't have anybody else to start. I don't think anybody made the conscious decision to go with Ridley because he hadn't done anything at all. Last week on Fantasy Live, we do the Feel Good Friday thing. And I said, you know, Saquon Barkley, it was like waiting on a train platform for a delayed train. I'm like, but what else are you going to do? Like, you don't have the funds to take a cab somewhere or, you know, get a ride share. And the train showed up on Sunday.
The Tommy DeVito Express got there and went off for Saquon Barkley. 4 catches for 57 yards and 2 receiving touchdowns. Not only was it the most receiving yards he's had in a game this season, it ties the amount of receiving touchdowns he had in the first 10 weeks. Tommy DeVito, 6 passing touchdowns this year. Same number as Zach Wilson. 2 more than Tyrod Taylor and Daniel Jones combined had this year. So I know, like, Tommy DeVito has been a great source of humor for us and the NFL world, me especially with the Flex or Forget About segment. But, like, he's holding his own and making it where Saquon Barkley can still be good in fantasy, and that's all we want out of him.
That's all we need, because nobody's starting Tommy DeVito, but if you can elevate the guys around you, then you're good in our book. So at least for 1 week, thumbs up to you, Tommy DeVito. More chicken cutlets in Fast and Furious movies for you, Tommy DeVito. DJ Moore, I talked about it a little bit with Justin Fields earlier in the show, but DJ Moore bouncing back, 7 catches for 96 yards, did have the touchdown. And I think it's just nice to know that he's got his quarterback one back. And this was the offense that the Bears were hoping to have all season long. They were just starting to get going when Fields suffered the thumb injury. But now it looks like maybe we can see this thing play out for the rest of the season. And here's the thing. DJ Moore wasn't bad with Tyson Bagent. It just, the ceiling was a lot lower with Bagent than it is with Justin Fields. So I think we always sort of looked at DJ Moore as a high-end wide receiver too. That fell off a little bit with Bagent at quarterback. But it appears he's back to doing his thing as a wide receiver too right now. So that's good
news.
Funny how that works, right? Get your starting quarterback back and everybody looks and feels better. On the other side of that game, another week where both David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs figure out how to be successful together. We love it.
Yeah, it's been amazing. Last week, Gibbs was the RB2. Monty was the RB12. As of now, with pending Monday night, Gibbs is the RB3. Monty's the RB12. So both weeks, they've both been RB1s. Gibbs has scored a touchdown in 4 straight. He's the second running back for the Lions to do so since Barry Sanders did it in the 80s. It's just right now this rushing attack, I would say, is the best 1-2 punch in the league. I don't think that's a hot take at all. And you could be like, oh, well, it came against the Bears. The Bears have been the hardest matchup for running backs over the last 2 months. And these guys went out and put up huge numbers with ease. We kept talking like, not only can they coexist, they both could potentially be league winners this year. That's how well this Lions rushing attack is going.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I think I saw something that Austin Eckler, noted fantasy podcaster, said he would shave his eyebrows if both Gibbs and Montgomery finished as top 15 running backs. I think Gibbs is currently in the top 15 and Montgomery's like right around 2022, somewhere like that.
Oh, on the year, not on the week?
On the year.
Oh, I was like, get ready to shave, Eckler.
I think it's for the year, not for the week. It seems kind of drastic to make for a 1 week proposition.
Oh, that would imagine seeing him like in the Pro Bowl or whatever, just with no eyebrows.
It'd be amazing. That's amazing. It'd be funny. Last one for me, Jaylen Warren. And this has sort of been building. We've been saying for a long time that Warren probably deserves to have more opportunity in that Steelers offense. He was named the starter a couple of weeks ago, but that seemed more ceremonial than anything. But this past week, huge game, 129 yards and a touchdown on just 9 carries. Yet somehow he's still seeing fewer opportunities than Najee Harris, and no one with eyes can understand why, because he is obviously the better playmaker of the two. He's more explosive. He's more capable of big plays when he gets his hands on the ball. But for whatever reason, right now, Matt Canada and the Steelers are still working Najee Harris in there. I don't know. I mean, at this point, I think we just have to sort of accept that this is what it is. Like, it's not really going to change. But it'd be nice if they just decided to hand everything over to Jaylen Warren and let him be the guy, because he looked really good against the Browns on Sunday. A guy who did not look very good against the Browns, at least statistically, was Diontae Johnson. I feel like this is not about Diontae Johnson, but more about the quarterback in the offense.
Yeah, look, we've been saying like, oh, you can't trust George Pickens because they use him downfield and Kenny Pickett cannot win downfield. Like, I think it's 4 passes downfield he's completed all year. But he just can't complete anything anymore. Like, he has 6 passing touchdowns this year. That is the same number as Zach Wilson and Tommy DeVito. He has 116 passing yards per game in the last month with one touchdown in that span. So if you're a wide receiver here, you're fighting to get some of the 116 yards and maybe you get a touchdown every month or so. Like, as good as Pickens is, as good as Deontay Johnson are for real life purposes, they're almost unusable for fantasy because of how bad Kenny Pickett has been. Like, I'm seeing Steelers fans now posting the game log of Mason Rudolph from a couple years ago and be like, I would kill for this production right now. That's how bad it's been with your first round pick.
Yikes. And I believe they are now up to 58 games with fewer than 400 yards of total offense. 58 consecutive. In fact, on game day preview, which you guys should check out on the NFL channel streaming on Sunday mornings, Andrew Siciliano made the point that the last time they had 400 yards in a game, Ben Roethlisberger was the quarterback, and it wasn't even Roethlisberger's final season as the starting quarterback.
Yikes.
Of the the Pittsburgh Steelers. That is how bad it has been. Me and Austin Eckler, and it seemed like it was a good matchup on paper going against the Green Bay Packers. That run defense hadn't been very good all year long, but Eckler did not have a great day. Just 64 rushing yards. Just two catches for 6 yards. Also lost a fumble in there. There was one play that I think everybody noted where he sort of got around the edge and got loose. And it just looked like he was running in mud, which is not something we're used to seeing from Austin Eckler. I don't know if there's something going on with a nagging injury or whatever, but he was walked down by a defender in a way that I hadn't seen maybe in his career. So that's sort of worrisome. But just missing out on what was a really good opportunity. Gotta hope it gets better. The Chargers needed to be better. Fantasy managers needed to be better. We'll see if it gets better coming up next week. That'll do it for this edition of the NFL Fantasy Football Show. Be sure to listen tomorrow. We're answering fan questions, plus Matt Okada going to drop by with his top waiver wire targets. Stay happy, safe, and healthy. Do good and live well. And we'll talk to you again real soon.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I gotta change the oil in my car.
Right now, get 5 quarts of Pennzoil Platinum Full Synthetic with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for only $36.99.
Get in zone. What do I do with my old oil?
We can recycle your used oil for free.
Get in zone.
And do you have oil for my old work truck?
You can find the right high mileage oil to help it go farther right here at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.